we're still PG, right?
I don't know. It's barely PG.
I just don't know how to react to the whole thing. I just don't know how I feel about it.
Welcome to New Game Plus. You're listening to a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game, and then we talk about it. I've said that line so many times.
Should we change it?
I heard you like adding extra inflection just out of boredom.
It just gets to the same thing. It's like, and my name is Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
Nolan.
And this is episode 177 and the Super 16 of the 2019 Retro Gaming Tournament has come to a close.
This thing has been super hype, more than I thought it would be.
It's been a lot of fun, yeah. Especially the deeper in we've gotten because the harder it's become.
Yeah, I just get salty and saltier and so I don't know, I'm over it.
You're not the only one, as we've said in previous episodes. The gaming community, the various
large
individuals are very passionate about their titles, and the most flack we got wasn't even when a game lost or whatever, is when a game was seeded improperly.
Right.
So yeah, it just we ruined it from the beginning, and then StarCraft lost round one to like Power Rangers or something. I don't remember.
It was weird.
There's only 16 games left, so I think that we actually have just enough time to go through each matchup here at the start of the episode and just get your quick thoughts.
Yeah, I'm down.
All right. Mm. 16 games, so it's the final. We're going for the final eight. So out of these two, the ones that are facing up right now, and by the way, this ends tomorrow, so you can today. Today is Monday when this is released, so if you listen on day of, you can vote in this awesome eight. If not, you're just going to have to vote finally in the Fateful Four. But the two games that are matched up here is Final Fantasy VII and Link to the Past.
Wow. I mean, are you asking my choice?
I'm asking your choice and what you think it's going
to
be.
I think it's going to be A Link to the Past, which is also my choice.
Kenny?
Wow. My choice is Final Fantasy VII, and I'd be thoroughly shocked if that wasn't the winner.
Really? All right. You'll be shocked.
This whole competition, people have been thoroughly shocked and but on one side of the spectrum, and someone's thoroughly shocked if it's on the other side. So like it's called opinions. But this is the hardest one for me because I think these are two of the greatest games of all time. It's my favorite Zelda game, it's my favorite Final Fantasy game. Out of these two, I would pick Final Fantasy VII, and I actually think, depending on who all it gets to, I think it's going to be Final Fantasy VII because, I'll tell you this, because I think your Zelda fans are going to go for Ocarina of Time in the next matchup and leave Link to the Past in the past in this one.
It depends. You're right. It depends on who it gets to.
For the next matchup, it's Ocarina of Time and Super Mario World.
OOT.
Okay, go ahead, Nolan. Yeah. Both
Ocarina,
of you?
Like, duh.
But also hard because SM64.
Nah. Ocarina of Time will win, but I go SMW because I think it is the best Mario game.
SMW?
That's Super Mario World, dude.
Oh, I thought you said 64. My bad.
No, not 64.
Okay.
This is just Super Mario World.
I mean,
World.
Still OOT, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's going to win as well. Yep. It's obviously a classic title, probably going to be in that final. Chrono Trigger versus Super Mario Brothers 3.
This one was actually really hard for me.
That one's really easy for me.
Yeah, I think Chrono Trigger will win, and that's my pick as well.
I think Chrono Trigger will win, and I'm pretty certain I picked Super Mario Brothers 3.
Full of it.
Super Mario Brothers 3 is great, but Super Mario World is going for me, so Chrono Trigger is an easy pick for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, the weirdest matchup of all time,
I don't
Mega
hear
Man
it.
2 versus Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2.
Get out. Like, why is Tony Hawk in the tournament?
That game was pretty revolutionary.
And there's just there's a moment in time in which a game, the right game is released at the right time to the right generation, and that was Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2.
It was, plus, it was, and I loved
this
it.
This gives us an underdog story. Every good tournament needs somebody hanging on that's not supposed to be there.
Well, listen, this is going to be the underdog's final hour. Mega Man 2 is going to win, for sure.
Those are the matchups for this awesome eight. It's going to be close on some of these, is my guess. Our plan is, so starting April 10th, the voting for the Fateful Four begins. And that's just two matchups, two games and another two games. And you decide who's going to face off in the finals. And then also in that voting, you'll vote for who you believe to be the ultimate champion. So we'll all happen between April 10th and April 13th. Of the year 2019, the year of our Lord. So go to ngppodcast.com/tournament and put in your votes during that time. We love to have continue to have hundreds and hundreds of people show up and submit their votes. Our plan is to announce this live.
That would be amazing. Like true sportscasters, ESPN style.
We're going to wear suits.
Yeah, I got my tie picked out already.
I mean, I don't know what I'm going to wear, but I'm hyped to share this with everybody.
You better start thinking.
Sunday, April 14th, we'll get you the time all on our social media and everything, but Sunday, April 14th, we're going to be announcing live on our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/NGP podcast, the final results. And then Kenny, Nolan, and I will give our opinions and thoughts on how the tournament went, what should have changed, what we'll do maybe different for next year. Yep. This is just the beginning of a long line of tournaments from year after year. So thank you for all of those that have joined so far. Regardless of which way you swing on this one, it's going to be a hard one. I know, that was ratchet, but it was the best one I had. Thank you very much.
Wow.
Like in our retro game of the week, Ratchet and Clank.
Overview.
Ratchet and Clank is a classic. It was developed by Insomniac, it was published by Sony on the PlayStation 2 in 2002. So this came out in a really important era of gaming, at least to me, and I think to a lot of people, this was kind of a golden era for a lot of people. You can argue with that, but it is what it is. It's very popular. It started a franchise. We played the first one in the series. Has like four games, I think, in the main series with a couple spinoffs. And there's actually a movie that came out a few years ago now, which I did not know.
Just a reboot and reimagining of the series, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So you could play this on PS2, but it's also been re-released for PS3, Vita, probably PlayStation 4 by now. So yeah, that's where the reimagining is. It's a 3D action platformer. So these genres are kind of hard for me to nail down. If you told me that a game was on PlayStation 2 in 2002 to 5 or even the late 90s and had an animal as a main character, I would know exactly what kind of game it is without you explaining it to me, but I'm going to do my best. So let's just go with 3D action platformer. It follows that classic PlayStation 1 early PS2 format.
Even N64. What I compare this to in some ways and like this whole setup is a lot of those Rare titles, right?
Yeah.
Obviously you get Banjo-Kazooie vibes. We'll talk about more of that, but I get that. I get even to some degree like Crash Bandicoot, all of those type games, Spyro, but Spyro was Insomniac. So like
Spyro was Insomniac. Honestly,
that one feels the most similar to me, but it doesn't surprise me because,
same people. Well,
I think it's even the same like engine and everything like that they took what worked with Spyro and that y'all didn't approve of, even though it's a purple dragon and then made it into Ratchet and Clank. But if you think that area of gaming, I don't know, you even said 2000, like I would say like 96, 98 to 2004, something along those lines, you get. That's what you should picture.
Yeah, it was just a moment in gaming. And, Insomniac, a note on them real quick, they haven't developed a ton of games. Like, if you look at their catalog, it's not massive like a lot of these developer companies. It's but it's very respectable, like Spyro and Ratchet and Clank, and I think also the recent Spider-Man game for PS4 that everyone freaked out about, Insomniac. So like Naughty Dog, Insomniac, Rare, all of the legends of this era. So if you don't know what we're talking about, it's a third person view of a character, and it's an adventure platformer, little puzzles here and there, collect-a-thon shooter, melee, like it's all of these things happening at once. And I would argue, and I'll probably get into this later, that this genre is dead, but sadly. The main character's name is Ratchet. Titular. I can use that word. And because I know what it means, and two, it applies. The titular character, Ratchet, is a Lombax. So if you
is he a real animal?
Yeah, if you don't know what that is, you should go look it up. No, a Lombax is a fake, made-up species from Insomniac.
I wouldn't have known.
Yeah, but he looks feline-like. Kind of looks like a person, but a cat person. And he's kind of tiny, but he's cute. Like most of these characters around the time, like Spyro. So he's a little furry guy.
Okay, he's not cute like Spyro.
What do you mean?
I mean,
he's not as cute.
Both sort of cute, I guess. But Spyro's full-on adorable. And this is just a Lombax with
weapons. Have you seen his feet?
But Ratchet is also... Ratchet's more tough, you know? Like,
oh, he's a tough guy, yeah.
He's a tough
boy. Yeah, I don't
want
to cuddle Ratchet.
I mean, I would hang out with Ratchet. Right, like, he's not cuddling you, Kenny. Don't get
hurt. Yeah, he's like, get away from me.
Yeah, but Spyro and I, we would cuddle late into the night.
Listen.
Yeah, I would pay to watch that, yeah.
I'd pay to watch it live stream. He has pants on, and that's it. Like, well, he has gloves, but no shoes and no shirt. So that's your character. And Clank, also titular, is a little robot, a little sentient robot guy that is amazing. And they're a duo. So Insomniac wanted to go for the buddy cop trope with their personalities. And that's what they went for. It's not so much like the robot is in service to Ratchet, although like it kind of starts that way, but they wanted more so like a partners in crime kind of thing. So that's your character, and that's basically a synopsis on Ratchet. I have some plot here, but I feel like I've been talking a while.
I think a lot of this game is character-based, and so my thoughts is that what drives this game is not most of the gameplay mechanics that we'll talk about. They're great. You know, we'll talk about the different guns and the mechanics and the platforming and different stuff like that. But there's a lot of cutscenes in this game and a lot of character development. I mean, some of it's story, but much more so in this game, character development. It's all about those two titular characters, Ratchet and Clank, and how they interact with each other, the drama that they experience together. Because it begins, and then I'm sure you can go into the story, with Clank crash landing on Ratchet's planet. So like it's an unlikely meeting from the very beginning.
Yeah, and like it's kind of unexpected that you get that kind of character development in this game. At least it was for me, because like I've mentioned, I've played this genre before, I played these games, and this one might do it the best as far as like plot and character goes. But yeah, Clank crashes on Velden, which is Ratchet's home planet. Ratchet is a mechanic. And that's how they meet up, and you find out after Clank is repaired that there's this dude named Drek that is a Blargian. His race is called the Blargs.
Yeah,
this
right.
game has its own humor, and we can definitely talk about that. But he's trying to like obviously take over space and take over planets, and so that's your main plot, is to stop him.
I mean, let's be clear. It's much more advanced than that. He's dismantling other planets
to build his own
perfect planetary paradise with like pieces
he's
of
space
other
Hitler.
Worlds. It's great.
He's pretty much coming by knocking on planet doors and being like, "Excuse me, we are coming into town and we're building our own planet. We are going to need a chunk of yours, which will cause your planet to spin out of control and everyone will die." So. Yeah. Thank you. You know, like,
yeah, bye.
That's some of the humor. It really is very comparable to that. And so Ratchet and Clank go off to find Captain Quark. That's what it is.
I thought it was a play on Kirk.
Maybe thinking, I'm wrong. I think it is too.
It probably is.
And then Quark is something like scientific and spacey. Yeah. But they're going to go find him to try to meet him so that he can rescue. He's like the he's on all the televisions. He's this like fictional superhero. But could you believe that it might have to be Ratchet and Clank that actually come and save the world?
No,
he doesn't.
Find out in our gameplay section.
Nice.
Gameplay.
So probably the most notable thing about this game versus other similar games, you get your Spyros, you get your Banjo-Kazooies, whatever else, is that this game has a huge variety, and I think kind of drives the entire gameplay of like weapons and accessories for Ratchet and Clank. And I think we should talk about some of those and talk about kind of how central that is to really everything else that goes on. Because without the variety of weapons, I feel like this game would actually be pretty flat.
So I've played this game before. It's been a long time. Like I'm talking 2003, like when it came out around that time. And it was really interesting going back to it because I forgot most of the game. And the first thing that I was like, wait, I forgot about this, is that you're primarily a melee character. Like, so your main weapon.
You back to Diablo too.
At least no. Initially.
No. Is what?
Is your wrench.
Yeah, the wrench, the right. Omni wrench.
And well, the thing that surprised me likewise is that you're not switching between these characters. I thought so the majority of the time Clank's riding around on Ratchet's back, I thought it was going to straight up be a Banjo-Kazooie type situation that I could switch between the two, and that's not the case. You're playing Ratchet for the most of the game.
Right.
And being Ratchet, his primary weapon is that wrench. And so, yeah, it's a melee weapon that you can swing and attack and jump and slam down. You can also crouch and toss it like a boomerang, which is awesome.
So cool.
But one of the big things, as Kenny was saying, is that you are finding, purchasing, and upgrading. I don't know if you're upgrading, but like different weapons.
Kind of.
But not only a few, there are over 20 guns in this game, or 20 like other kind of attacks in this game. So it starts melee, but I think that by the end of the game, it's a large focus on like not a first person shooter, definitely not first person, but like a shooter. Like you are at times aiming. You've got everything from grenades to
a suck cannon,
one of my favorite
funny.
To different, even different weapons that are not really offensive in nature, but that you use to progress. So like I don't remember the name of it, but like a grappling hook and another decoder and different things like that.
And I really love how like they kind of don't baby you with that. They let you just get right into it with how you're controlling or attacking with the wrench and with the little grenade glove that you're lobbing grenades. I feel like with these games, they can be very hand-holdy and limited with the weapon variety. But yeah, you're like 20-something weapons is a shock, and also really cool because then it lets you decide how you want to play or which weapon's your favorite.
Yeah, you get to customize your gameplay because you do have a quick weapon wheel like that you can use triangle to get to a different weapon. However, there's only like 6 spaces on there, 8 spaces on there, and with over 20 guns,
it's like a loadout.
You'll have to go into your menu and decide which weapons you want quickly accessible to you. And so I think that really diversifies the gameplay and allows you to play with the weapons that you enjoy most. Or the game developers were brilliant in setting up the stages because some creatures, bosses, like different weapons work better on them. When I have a ton of mobs of these creatures just running after me and trying to snap at me, I use the flame cannon.
I watched you do that on the live stream on the sand dudes, the little worms.
Because that seems to work for me, and I just like spin in circles and shoot flames out of my nozzle. But when I see a guy that's a little bit further in the distance than me, and he's a bigger guy and he hasn't been started shooting at me yet, I lob a grenade every time. That grenade glove was one of my favorites.
Yeah, that thing's great.
But what about the Glove of Doom? Did either of you get the Glove of Doom? Oh, which, come on.
No, I think
it's incredible. It's like the bomb glove, but it throws this little device that doesn't do anything for a moment, and then it explodes in like these six metallic rats run after and start attacking the enemies around.
So weird. I don't know if I like that one.
I loved it. It
was great. It wasn't my favorite. Let's be real. Everybody's favorite, almost by definition, though, has to be the... Is it cannon? The suck cannon?
The suck cannon, yeah.
Yeah, I forgot if it was cannon or what it was.
I didn't get that either.
Okay, so if you haven't seen it, this is just funny. You literally run around almost like Kirby style, where if there's small enough enemies, you suck them into your gun, but then they're like stored in your gun as ammunition, and then become missiles that you can fire back out to like kill other and bigger enemies. And
it's like hilarious. The gravity gun from Half-Life, kind of, or like the junk gun from Fallout. You can put just random stuff.
Oh, it is.
Yeah.
Either way, it does Kirby them up and then Kirby them out, and it's great. And there's just so many. There's a variety. And then not only that, with the weapons and the purchasing system, by the way, you're collecting as you destroy things and enemies. You're getting all these bolts, and those, that's your currency. Not only with that, Clank gets some upgrades throughout the game, which is super awesome.
And I'm actually really glad, because when you first play the game, and I was kind of like you, Dustin, I expected this like play on both characters.
Yeah.
And at first you just run around and there's a robot on your back and it does nothing.
You thought it was going to be Navi style?
Yeah, except like talk during cutscenes in kind of obnoxious ways. And you're like, this guy's pointless. But then he finally gets his little helicopter thing, and then you finally have some missions where you can send him off on his own to like collect a gun you couldn't get to otherwise. And there's moments where finally he feels purposeful. And I'm really glad that they gave him some reason to exist, because initially I didn't get that, and it kind of irked me. I was get the robot off your back. You're annoying.
And also, I think Insomniac noticed that in this first game, and they in later installments they utilize Clank more. Like you have more of those upgrades for him, and also he gets more of the spotlight with some of those like moments where you get to control him. But I think first round though, they were maybe struggling to find his place in the whole thing.
Yeah, I could feel that.
Even in the reboot just a few years back, instead of him just starting by crash landing on your planet, you play a segment while he's on his trying to make an escape. So,
that's a great idea.
You get to play more Clank then. But the few moments that I got to actually play Clank in this game were some of my favorites, because like I was enjoying the game, right? But then when I got to a moment on a spaceship where it said send Clank out to like explore the outer parts,
you like audibly gasped.
I was instantly intrigued, because I loved the little guy and his personality and his deeper voice than it needs to be, and just everything about him was great. But then you quickly find out that he doesn't have a weapon changer. He doesn't even have weapons. Mm-hmm. And in lieu of that, at first, as what I thought, is that he's got an emote changer. That like immediately you've got these different emotes that he does, because... It is like you've got, instead of switching in between weapons, you've got these four different like face expressions that he can do, or like commands. You find out in just a little bit later, which is even better, that he uses those emote commands to control little robot minions to do his own bidding. So like little Clank can't attack on his own, but he can send these programmed robots to taunt or to attack or to wait or to hold. And just, it gives it a whole nother layer there with the second lovable character that is titular.
Yeah, and I love that supports his personality, because the game starts off like him escaping, but even before that you see that this factory is producing like killer robots, and he's like a defective one. He's like really tiny and the other ones are massive. So it makes sense that he would be a passive, peaceful robot. And so I just love that it's not weapons that he's doing. And so he's just using other things.
Yeah, for sure.
Something else about this gameplay. So you're getting ammo for some of those weapons that you're using. So there's an element of collecting. And I think someone mentioned earlier Banjo-Kazooie. And it's not a collect-a-thon in the sense that Banjo is at all. But, or DK64 is probably even more of a collect-a-thon. But this game, you're collecting bolts, and that's the currency that you're using to buy some of those weapons. And I gotta say, I really love the way that they used the bolts, not only as like incentive to, you know, maybe get to an area of boxes up top where you need, you know, there's going to be some bolts and you can use it as currency, but also the way they used it to guide the player. At times I would be a little lost and then I would see a trail of bolts that just kind of leads off to somewhere. And I'm like, oh, cool. This, I'm back on track. I think that's such a smart way to go about guiding the player through the game instead of like some boring tutorial. It's just like, hey, go this way.
Yeah. Using your currency as like breadcrumbs kind of really is just super wise. And they did a lot of things to do that, to get you where you were supposed to go, but then also rewarded exploration.
Golden.
Yeah. There were a bunch of these hidden.
So satisfying.
Golden.
Not a bunch of. Not that many. Per planet, there's 2, 3, or 4 golden bolts that you can find that I found later even. I love it. I didn't know why I was collecting them. It's just fun to find them. It does a little cutscene and you get that. You can use them to like change your outfits and do different things like that. There's different, you can actually use those as a kind of currency.
Incentive.
That's kind of like, cool. I didn't so realize good. That either.
And the way they hid those as well, like in the first stage, first of all, there's wall jumping in this game, which amazing and unexpected, but you kind of get thrown into a room where it's like, can I wall jump up here? And I watched Dustin discover this like naturally. And it was the best thing ever. He wall jumped. He was like, oh, sweet. I can wall jump.
No, and then I kept finding out. I was like, oh, and it also has this. And it also has this.
And then
like,
boom, a golden bolt. And you were like, oh my goodness.
And here's the thing. Like, okay, so not unlike Star Fox, this Ratchet and Clank has different planets that you go to. Completely unlike Star Fox, once you get to these planets, you have multiple objectives once you arrive on the planet. You can stay there as long or short as you want sometimes. You can do all the missions. Some of the planets you have to come back and visit after you've completed something else on another planet. And it's just I was not expecting a mission log that, it checks off automatically once you've accomplished a certain task on a planet. I thought that was a genius way. And you don't see that even in 3D platformers. I thought that was a cool another cool level to this 3D platformer that really just puts it over the top in that area, at least to its counterparts.
Yeah, you say that. We've run into games where you have to go back and replay content, but not in like new ways. And that can actually be super obnoxious for me. You know, hey, collect all these items. Okay, go back and now collect all these, you know, different color version of the same item. And to me, that just artificially inflates the game.
Yes, but that's not this.
No, they just had cool interactions where like there's things that are inaccessible or areas that you could swing to or glide to that you couldn't get to before because you didn't have upgrades. And so it sounds repetitive when you say that, or maybe it sounds that way just to me because I hate that.
Right.
But it's not that. It just adds depth and exploration and Nolan,
please don't misunderstand me. Like, this is not a collect-a-thon. Like, you have is the bolts, which is currency, and then the gold bolt. Yeah, and ammo. Ammo. But, like, you're not going around and collecting these color music notes and
the puzzle pieces.
Like, puzzle pieces. And that stuff makes me mad. No, this is centered around the different missions. Some of the planets even have bosses. But even in all of that, why I would go back to another planet is because there's a character there that wants me to win or race on another planet and bring back the reward. Like, it's all character and narrative, like, centric. There's purpose to it. There's missions and tasks. The purpose is not you've got to go and collect more of these because you've unlocked another piece of the planet.
And that just makes the whole outer space travel thing, different planet thing matter, because also like the plot being, hey, they're trying to destroy these planets. So the fact that you need to go back and do different things is perfect.
There's one other thing that this game does really well that I think is important, because even not being a repetitive collect-a-thon, though you're collecting things, this type of game, to me at least, can get really repetitive. You're doing the same thing a lot. I think that was kind of one of my big beefs with Spyro, and you know, I think of some other similar games we've played. But this one made sure to break up all of the normal things by A, giving you fun little side quests like, hey, go run around with Clink, but also by including a bunch of really neat little mini games, whether that's like solving the kind of mini puzzles of unlocking doors with your trespasser, or whether that's, you know, I guess it's not, what are they, hoverboarding, you know, competing in little side things that aren't the game proper, but that give it some other sorts of flavor. And I think the genre needs that, and they did it pretty well.
And each of those things help you become better at the game. You know, right. Like, ooh, with platforming, it's being able to manage and control your character and his or her abilities well.
And aim properly.
When you have an obstacle course, or when you have a race, or when you have these different things, it allows you to have better control. And again, with all of those that you mentioned, Kenny, it puts you in contact with another interesting character that is just building out the world and the personality of the titular characters
stop.
Even more.
Stop! It kind of gives you in-game tutorials, and it does. It builds the world itself and the characters, teaches you things, and breaks up the monotony of the rest of the gameplay. And so I think they did those pieces pretty masterfully.
And I also love the little details in the gameplay, like when I came across a door that had a screw sticking up in front of it, and realizing that I need to use the Omni wrench that I've been hitting everything with to open it, like that little detail there is so cool, the way you can interact with the environment. And also the little animation that happens when you buy a new gun from the vendor, like a big rocket launcher or something, and Ratchet just looks giddy because of his character and his personality. It's just so charming how much detail they went into with all of those little things to make the worlds feel alive and connected.
Aged. So I believe this is the youngest game we've played. Is that fair? It's one of, if one not of, yeah. the.
It's near there at least.
2002. Yes,
the thing that I just said. It's PlayStation 2, the year 2002. So we could technically have played a younger game. I don't know what it would have been. I will say this: this is the youngest feeling game that I remember playing on the
definitely,
podcast.
Definitely. It feels too recent.
So missed. The handling and the control of camera and all of these things. This might be the first game that we played on our podcast where I can actually use the trigger right buttons. Thumbstick to control the camera.
Right.
And I've missed it, guys. I've missed it.
I've missed this whole genre. Like, it's very bizarre. And we talked about it a lot in Discord, how not okay it is that this game is 15 years old now, or more than that. But the fact that we can play it on the podcast, and we're sticking to it. Like, we're always going to be able to play 15-year-old games. So every year, every day, technically, there's a new game we can play. But that being said, that this being the youngest one we've played, like, I thought the quality that went into this shocked me that it was on PS2. I thought this was PS3.
Really?
It felt, yes. And this was, I did not play the reimagined one. I played the original. The animations are so quality.
Yeah, they really are.
It does look great for the era. Like, they use the assets they have well, the things they put in the distance, what's on the screen, how things look. All of that's really good. It definitely feels more modern than a lot of the retro games we play in terms of controls and some other things. That does come at a cost, though, awkwardly enough, because, I don't know, technology being what it is, and the reality of playing older games means that often we end up having to emulate them to find a way to play them. And this game, because the amount of space that games of this era take up graphically, and just the support that they have in like software, this game is a lot harder to emulate effectively than older, simpler games. And that's a serious hurdle that we have to take into consideration. We're almost to the point where you can say, if you want to go play it, you know, dust off the PlayStation 2, get one, you know, it's not like old enough that you only have this as an option. But it's a reality when we talk about how playable a game is.
Nolan, you mentioned it, but I think not only with the cutscenes, the graphics in games, the worlds that they built out, the stages themselves are so multidimensional. Even if you can't go to all of the areas in the stage, it looks so real, alive, dense. Mm-hmm. And on the different planets, they look so different. So some might be sparse with real living population. It's just going to have like a lot of enemies and it's going to be dark and overgrown. And there's even swampy areas that try to pull you down under. And then there's a whole nother like metropolis with space vehicles flying everywhere. And there's so much life there. And there's so, and it's so colorful and so bright. Each world is fully realized in every part of it. It's been really hard for me this week, and I know we've said it already in this section and probably throughout the cast we've made it clear, but like it felt so weird for me this week to think about this in a retro sense, because yeah, in so many ways it does not feel retro to me.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm sure playing newer Ratchet and Clank titles, you'll feel the disparity there, but that's not what I'm comparing, because this is the first Ratchet and Clank game I've ever played. But playing it now compared to the games that we typically play, it one, doesn't feel retro, and I'll say that, and that's fine. And then two, compared to the other games, it just feels so liberating.
Yeah, and I think it kind of speaks to how brilliant the developers of this time, not only for this game, but for games like it at the time, like how they were really making strides in making modern gaming what it is. Like, yeah, if we start playing games older than this, like, or not older, sorry, like 2003 and up, more modern day, we're going to start feeling less of that retro and fewer hurdles, because they were just impressive developers and technology was getting better. I still like, so one of the biggest positives for me, which is, this is strange because so many things are great, but the voice acting in this game is so good. It adds so much to the characters. Like Ratchet is a brat and the person that voiced him did an excellent job. Like, they didn't have to go that hard. Like, I'm sure they paid some really good voice actors. I don't know their names, but like, this is a time in gaming where they were starting to do more like movie like productions instead of just like some nerds on a computer. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it shows, you know, it's a super well realized world that's made, you know, to a really high quality. You can feel the love and the dedication in this game. Like, you just know whoever the developer is here, like, they had to have some sleepless nights putting this game together.
If you like Ratchet and Clank, then I'm sure you already are very familiar with the series. But as Nolan mentioned at the start, there's other games in the core series. I don't know which ones are and which ones aren't, but I know that here's a few. Ratchet and Clank Going Commando, Ratchet and Clank Up Your Arsenal are two of them. There's other games in the series as well. And then that movie that came out in 2016. And then a reboot of the series released for the PS4 also in 2016. So I've heard movie bad, game good. So
yes.
I would say, just being an outsider to the series, that if you're wanting to play Ratchet and Clank, I would encourage you to start with this first one, because I can only imagine that it does get better. And I imagine some of the things that they do add will be felt when it doesn't have that in the first game. So yeah. I wouldn't want you to play a more recent title and then go back and play this first one, because it's probably going to take away from some of the beauty and charm that we seem to have found in Ratchet and Clank. Yeah.
The second one's probably better.
Final thoughts.
At the end of each and every one of our episodes, we determine whether or not the game gets our vote for New Game Plus status, which is our general thumbs up or thumbs down. Needs two votes to swing one way or the other. It's going to be hard. But Ratchet and Clank, the 2002 PlayStation 2 video game, Nolan.
This game has no business feeling this vast and well thought out. I can't believe it came out on the PS2. And we didn't linger on it much, but I love the humor here. like so self-aware, actually witty and funny. The voice acting adds so much to the characters that you have to love them, even the ones that are annoying. There's something so charming about this game, and I really get excited when I think about like games like this and the one and other ones that came out at the time. I'm just glad companies made this genre, and I miss it. I wish it was still a thing, but I'm just not seeing it. I think that Rare team that got together and made Yooka-Laylee is a good start, but I just wish it was more of a thing because these games are some of my favorites. New Game Plus.
Yeah. So PlayStation into PlayStation 2 was my era of childhood, early teenage gaming. What I did a lot of the most and what I enjoyed the most. That was my Final Fantasy time, you know.
Yep.
But I somehow didn't know about this game. And it is sad to me because it would have easily been one of my favorite games as a young teenager. Easily. And I would have been sucked in. There, in this podcast, a lot of the games that we play, I come back to day after day during that week because it's the job, right? I've got to play it to be able to be able to talk about it,
yeah.
You know, with some kind of knowledge at the end of the week.
It's somewhat of a chore.
Yeah, somewhat. A lot of times it is. Even if it's a good game, like, I know that I'm not going to be able to finish it, so I'm coming in and I'm studying, right? Mm-hmm. For Ratchet and Clank, I came back time and time again because I wanted to. And that happens rarely on this podcast. And although to me it hasn't felt retro enough, you know, this week, I think part of that is because it's newer, but then also because of the just the brilliance that was the developing company when they put this game together, with the voice acting to the graphics to the fully realized worlds to the platforming and to all of the guns, but most importantly to the titular characters, Ratchet and Clank, and how they worked together and the humor and then the angst of them not working together for a while, and then just everything about them too made this game for me. You guys have known for a long time that story and characters are my favorite. Story typically outweighs that because that's what is focused on in most games, with characters coming in a close second. But in this game, the story takes slightly a backseat to the amazingness that is Ratchet and Clank. It gets my vote. That's 2 out of 3. Kenny, go ahead and give us your final thoughts.
Let me bring a little bit of perspective. Nolan is wrong about this genre. It's super boring. Generally.
Who is this guy?
This game had elements where it ran into that, where it had the same problems of being a little bit repetitive and not feeling, I don't know, as rewarding as it could be. But I will say it was made super well, and they answered that in as good a ways as you can. The world's beautiful, the characters are fun, and they broke up the fact that the genre itself is hopeless by giving you the huge variety of weapons and giving you mini games and letting you play other characters, and somehow they did the impossible and redeemed the genre at least slightly for me. And so I don't think it's as good a game as you guys make it sound, but whereas people love Spyro and I can say no New Game Plus on that, people love Ratchet and Clank and I'll say, you know what, I'll give it to you. New Game Plus, it's a pretty good game for being in a terrible genre.
I don't know what all he said, but the game Ratchet and Clank is New Game Plus certified. Tyler wrote in and he said, the good old days of Ratchet and Clank, heart. Insomniac Games. Oh, I heart Insomniac Games. Since my major is game design, I wish to submit my thoughts on the RNC games. In my opinion, it's the best series that Sony has ever made.
That was
the thoughts. Kenny disagrees, but Tyler does ask, what are your thoughts on the 2016 movie?
No idea, but
should we watch it?
Yeah, I haven't watched it, but I know how the world works.
Yeah.
And when you make movies and then make video games about them, they're usually terrible.
We've been burned too many times by that.
Yeah. When you make a good video game and then make a movie about it, it's probably going to be terrible. So I'm hesitant to even care to investigate.
I wish it was good, but I think that maybe more deserves to be like a cartoon show or something like that, if anything. But also, you could also just leave it a video game. Like, have you ever thought about that?
Yeah. Although I like your suggestion, Dustin, I actually would watch this as a Saturday morning cartoon.
Oh,
like,
for
it'd
sure.
be perfect for that.
You just hate the genre.
Right, I
yeah,
do.
You're not alone.
It wouldn't be running around pointlessly.
Thank you, Tyler, for writing in. If you're listening to this, you can always send in your thoughts and commentary on the Retro Game of the Week. This is one of the weeks that I was actually sad there wasn't more discussion. Yeah. There's so much last week for Diablo 2, but Ratchet and Clank didn't get as much consideration in our Discord this week. I wonder if it's just not, it wasn't as known or wasn't as played as much or whatever, but...
it's just everyone was still playing Diablo 2.
Sure, I think so.
Well, we also saw that in those that were writing in. Thank you, Tyler, for writing in. Send in your thoughts each and every week to ngppodcast@gmail.com. But for now, we're going to randomly select the next game that we're going to be playing, and it is going to be a Patreon pool selection,
oh,
my
gosh.
Dudes.
I forgot. Yes,
yes, you yes. forgot. Well,
and
surprise. Because there are some interesting titles. We've got multiple Resident Evils. We've got multiple different Zeldas.
Always,
we've got
but
multiple different Final Fantasies.
Wow.
No hope.
We've also got like WrestleMania 2000.
Dylan.
And Pokemon Gold Silver. We've got tons of games in here. And out of those games, we are going to randomly select which game we're going to be playing for the next 7 days. Here we go.
Oh, man.
Here we go. Dun, 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 dun,
is it
dun,
really?
Dun, dun. Yeah. A role-playing video game developed and published by Square for the PlayStation console, released in 1999, is the eighth main installment in the Final Fantasy series.
Are you kidding me?
This is so weird.
Wait, I don't know what you're about to say, though.
You don't know what the eighth main installment in the Final Fantasy series is?
Oh, but no, I don't know if it's Star Wars or if you're trolling.
I know. That music had nothing to do with it.
Yeah,
okay.
I thought it was a Star Wars
I
game.
I hate
too.
This. Tell me.
I'm
is
so
it,
confused.
We're going to be playing the game Final Fantasy VIII.
Oh, no. Isn't that the one that everyone hates?
Not everyone. There's some people out there that like it.
Yeah, too.
Yeah, it's not me, but I this will be a good thing for me to go back and maybe it can change my mind. You know, I love Final Fantasy. Final Fantasy VIII is not one of the Final Fantasies that I prefer. It's actually in my like least favorite three, but it was submitted by patron Macaulay McCulkin.
Macaulay McCulkin,
every time
yeah.
we get to say that name.
So thank you for submitting Final Fantasy VIII.
Oh my gosh.
This is, I mean, it's a Final Fantasy title, well, so that's hype, right?
But, yeah, but here's a problem. I'm playing 7 on the Switch right now.
Well,
what
about
I'm
playing
perspective.
Here's the weird thing. You're playing 7 on the Switch right now. I'm playing 9 on the Switch right now. We're both going to have to pause and play some 8 this week.
I also love that they just ignored 8 and didn't want to release it for the Switch.
Right. That is really funny. Dun, right. dun, dun, dun.
KOTAR. Why are you singing the wrong things?
Join us in Discord this week if you want to. If you don't,
then
I don't
want
to talk to you anyways. You can go to ngppodcast.com and click on Join Us in Discord. It's that easy.
We want to say a big thanks to all of our supporters on patreon.com. Shout out to Carl, who decided to join us as a patron this week.
Carl.
Should we have that little sound effect that's like the siren, the like air horn?
Wap, wap, wap,
no.
Can we? Tom?
Tom?
I think those are terrible ideas. I think put a better sound effect in, but one that you choose.
Yeah, but you also think 3D platforming is a terrible
idea.
Yeah,
bad
so.
Opinion.
Not okay. Not all 3D platformers are terrible.
You
but
better keep
these
going.
Style 3D
hey, you got a job to do. You got a job
right.
to do.
Carl, you're great. You're way
wah,
better
wah,
than
wah,
Ratchet
wah,
and Clank.
Wah.
Some other people that are great are our producers that we love to give a shout out to every single week. And so, thanks so much to Bill, Dear Baby, Grim, Zach, and of course Zion.
You can always check us out on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Twitch at NGP Podcast, at YouTube at New Game Plus Podcast, and you can find all the links at a nice little place called ngppodcast.com. Make sure you listen to us each and every week. We've got a new episode every single week on a new old video game. Make sure on whatever you're listening to us on, you are subscribed so that you are the first to get new NGP episodes. And while you're at it, leave a kind rating and review. This episode was edited and produced by our friend Tom Tate. Join us next week as we play Final Fantasy VIII. Until then, I'm still Darth Vader.
I'm Kenny.
I'm Squall.
And we are the titular characters of New Game Plus.
Oh, somebody just make him stop.